So our scripture lesson today is from 2 Corinthians. It's chapter 5, verses 16 through 21. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is in a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin and knew to sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. So I call this Inside Changes. It's about how allowing the Lord into our hearts, souls, it changes us all, and we should look different. Maybe not, I mean, I'm still not going to have hair. That part didn't change. But we're going to look different when people see us. They're going to see Christ at work in us. And so he's telling them not to think of Jesus Christ as the way they saw him on earth, that he's not going to be in that same human form. He's going to be changed. So that human view no longer has any value to us. But I would say that also applies to us. It applies to how people see us when we're doing God's work. And so we've heard different stories of that today. Anita talked about her cousins, right? What they're doing in, I think that's Eastern Europe, in Eastern Europe with the Ukraine people, and having the courage to cross the border to take in supplies. And that transformation in all of us is created by the Holy Spirit at work in us. And so what Paul is telling them is, I'm a new person. I'm not the same person that I've been before. That God has changed me and changed me for the better. And Paul wants them to know that the message he's sharing with them is not the message of Paul. It's God's message working through him. And the ministry that he's trying to work in, the message of Jesus Christ he's sharing, isn't Paul's message, but it's the message he's receiving from Jesus Christ and God. Now, how many of you remember the story where Paul's on his way to persecute the Jews and the Lord strikes him blind? It's described in different ways. Okay, we're going to talk about that, I think, in two more weeks in more detail. But I think sometimes we kind of gloss over that happening. Because, okay, Paul was struck blind, then he sees, and he changed, and then everything's okay after that. And we have all these letters that we study of Paul's, and most of the New Testament, once you get past the Gospels, are really Paul's writings. But we don't really think about Paul the person, what Paul did before that. And so the reason that he's struck blind is because he's decided it's his job to take all these what we would call Christians now, and show them the error of their ways, and we're going to punish them. And so he goes to the temple, and he tells the religious leaders, you know what, I feel so strongly about this, I will go out, chase them down, and bring them back, and then we can punish them the way they should be punished. We are going to take care of them for being wrong. And we don't really... we know that's part of the story, but we don't really think about it that much. We kind of say, oh, well, he was bad, but now he's good and everything's okay. And so I want to give you an example of that. So we talked about Ukraine today, and we prayed for President Putin. And so let's say tomorrow, this afternoon, 2 days from now, God changes Putin's heart. And people say, oh, well, that's impossible. Well, you changed Paul's, right? So it's not impossible. Sharon helped me out with the sermon today because she said she prayed for the Taliban to change the way. And then she thought to herself, well, that'll never work. And then 24 hours later, somebody comes on the radio just to prove to her that God still does those things. And so let's say that whenever he changes Putin's heart and Putin realizes how much death and destruction he caused and he stops. Now, when we talk about Paul, and I don't know where the guy gets this, in the evening service I'm doing that from Rob Fuqua in the book we're using, he said that it's believed that from the time of Paul's conversion to when he starts his ministry is somewhere between like 13 to 15 years. And I don't know where he got that. And when I read that, in my mind, so I don't know about you guys, but in my mind, I've always thought Paul was converted and the next day everything was okay and he went on with his life and it didn't. I'd never envisioned this time span where it was going to take him so long to become the person he becomes when we read about his letters in his ministry. And so if we use Putin as an example and God changes his heart, whether that's 1 year, 1 day from now, 1 year from now, or if it's 15 years from now, let's say he goes back to the people of Ukraine and says, you know what, I know how much destruction and death I've caused, but I want to make it right. I'm going to do whatever God leads him to do, he wants to do it. So if you're one of the Ukrainians that lost your house or lost family members in this war, how quick are you going to be to trust him? But that's what happens to Paul here. I mean, when he goes back in these areas, those people are in these areas because he would chase them out of Israel because they knew if they stayed what he was going to do to them. And so when we read that maybe they don't want to do exactly what Paul wants them to do, or you can kind of read between the lines and sense that distrust, it's because, except for the weaponry and the mass destruction that Putin caused, Paul did the same thing. If you were Jewish and he found you and you were worshiping Jesus Christ, he was going to drag you back to Jerusalem and something was going to happen to you. And so you can talk about the number of people that he hurts compared to what Paul did. The numbers, in this case, I don't think really matter. It's what God can do in someone's heart when God gets in there. For us, the question is, when God changes somebody like that, and Paul said, you know, when the Lord's in you, you're gonna have a different look, you're gonna have a different feel about you, can we accept that new person, or are we only gonna see the old person? And so I hope you guys read New Testament periodically, but as you read those stories and Paul's talking to people, and people are not so quick to just do that, I want you to think about this, what would have been the history between Paul and those people. And if it was us, or in this case, in my example, if God is able to change Putin's heart, if Putin wants to be changed, are the people, not only of Ukraine, but of the world, going to believe that change really occurred? And so that's what I think, that's my best example of what I think this scripture is talking about. Whether it's the way God changes us or the way he changes some figure in history, like he changed Paul. Now, for us on a more local basis is, I bet everybody in this room has somebody that's really hurt them in their lives. Done something that you just can't believe they would do. And they've found the Lord. And it's changed them. But the question is, do we trust them? Or are we going to still say, you know what, 15 years ago, or 13 years ago, or 12 years ago, or 1 year ago, or 2 days ago, you did this to me, and I just don't trust you. I don't believe you that you've really made a change. And I'm not saying it's easy to trust and forgive people. It wasn't easy for the Corinthians to trust Paul. If and when God changes Putin's heart, it's not going to be easy for the world to trust him. It's not any easier for us if God comes into a friend or a family member of ours and changes their heart and they're not the same person they were. It's not easy for us to trust them that same way. But what this scripture tells us is when you allow the Lord into your heart, it changes the inside of you. Paul is saying, I am not the same person I was. He doesn't say this, but what he should say, I'm not the same person I was when I was out searching for you to persecute you and bring you back for trial in Jerusalem. He doesn't really need to say that because they all know that. They're not in their homes anymore because he drove them out. They knew if they didn't escape him, what was going to happen to them. On some levels, we run into people that do the same thing to us. And if you're on the other end of that, where you're the person that's being the evil, mean person, allow God to come into your heart today and change you. Because I don't know all your hearts. The Lord does, but I don't. So whichever side you're on, let the Lord lead you that way. So we have to agree that once God comes into our hearts, we are going to be a different person. People will see that in our lives because we won't act the same way. We won't treat people the same way. We'll be kinder. Now, I haven't really talked about this here, but so a couple weeks ago, there was a problem with the video and Rick used New Burlington's video. And I don't know if anybody went online and looked at it, but it is not taken during the church service. We do it the Monday before, and I only talk to the camera because I'm a little concerned that when people view us, it's like they dropped in on something that they weren't really invited to. They're just seeing us from a distance. Some of the friends of mine that are pastors, they've figured out a way where they can sort of talk to the camera and cut the service. So when people come in, they're really addressing them in person. Those are all live stream events. And we don't get a good enough connection here to do that. And we don't at New Burlington. And I told you all that to tell you this. I'm already working. I already finished next week's sermon last week. So I know how it is. But I'm going to use something from that service in this service. When people around us change, sometimes we're not going to take advantage of that opportunity to accept their offer of forgiveness because we're not ready to forgive them. Because we just aren't. Now, how many of you, I don't watch this as much, but how many of you watch ESPN sometimes on TV? Okay. They don't do this as much as they used to. But it used to be when somebody would get hurt, they would say, it's more in baseball, they're day to day. All that means is you never know when they're going to come back. I always thought Keith Olbermann's, who was on there for a long time, response was better. He said, well, I know he's day to day, but hey, we're all day to day, right? We don't know when God's coming for us. We're all day to day. Could be in a few seconds. It could be years from now. We don't know. We're all day to day. So what I would tell you is when you have this opportunity to forgive somebody, don't think that you're going to get that opportunity again. And likewise, if you're the person that should go and ask for forgiveness, don't say to yourself, you know what? The next time I'll run into them, I'll tell them that. So two things that I have started to do as I've gotten older, and I know I'm not as old as some of you here, but I'm way older than her. I'm 100 years older than him. But one of the things I've learned when I've got older is not to let those opportunities pass by. So I gave you two examples of when I didn't do anything and I'm sorry for, and one example when I did something and I'm grateful for. I had a friend in high school. I was always crazier about her. She was the little girl with the red hair, okay? The last time I saw her was at Emmons Auditorium. I knew she'd been ill, but I didn't really know what the problem was. And I went over and I talked to her for just a few minutes, but I never told her just how much I cared for her. And she passed away probably 2 weeks after that. So I missed that chance. One day I'm in Meijer, not my favorite place to shop. My wife's got me running from one side of the store to the other. I ran into a high school friend. She wasn't red-haired, but I was crazy about her too. And I knew her health had not been very well. And that was the last time I saw her before I went to her funeral, about a year or so later. And so those were things that I kind of beat myself up sometimes, because I knew there were people that were important to me in my life, and I wanted to say something to them, and I didn't do it. Now, the one time I did do it, and I was very glad for, even when I went to school, we had fifth grade teachers, okay? And my fifth grade teacher, so you guys are probably, I thought my fifth grade teacher was probably like 80 when I had her in fifth grade, okay? And so when I was on the school board in Yorktown, I went with one of the grade schools on a trip, and I saw her at this place with four or five students from Ball State. And I found out that she was doing some kind of training for Ball State students. She'd retired from teaching. And so I went over and introduced myself because I wasn't really sure she'd remember me. And so this is an elementary school name. I would appreciate if nobody would use it here. But she said, well, hi, Eddie. I haven't seen you for a long time. That's the name there that we don't really care for, okay? And so we talked for a while, and it gave me a chance to tell her how much I appreciate her. And then as it worked out, I ended up having seats by her and her husband. If I took the bank seats and went to a Ball State basketball game, her seats were right next to me, and so I got to visit with her periodically when we would take those seats. And she passed away right at the beginning of COVID. I don't think it was COVID-related, but I wasn't even able to go to the funeral because they didn't have one. So I could have never even told her family how much she meant to me, but I did take advantage of that opportunity to tell her how much she meant to me. Now, just so you know, since I told you like she was 100 years old then, she told me when we were talking it was her very first year of teaching, which meant she was, what, 21, 22. She said that when she went there, it was at Sutton Elementary, she said when she went there, all of her friends said, oh, this will be so hard, those kids are so awful, and blah, blah, blah. And so she told me, she said, you know what, that class you were in, it was the best class I ever had. You had a bunch of kids in there that were pretty smart. I said, well, not Robert, because it was a friend of mine. He goes, yeah, Robert was a challenge. He actually ended up with his desk literally next door to her desk because it just saved time, okay? He was a nice enough kid that he might have misbehaved on one or two occasions. And so when you see those people that made a change in your life, go to them and tell them how much they mean to you. Don't think to yourself, you know what, I'll tell them later, because we don't know if we're going to have a later chance to do that. And if you need to tell them you're sorry, tell them you're sorry. It's the same thing. We don't know. We are all day to day. Literally, as Keith Olbermann said, we're day to day. We do not know if we're going to have a chance to say we're sorry to someone or accept somebody's forgiveness. So don't let it pass. We want the Lord to be in our heart. We want it to change us inside and out. And it means that we either have to ask for forgiveness or accept forgiveness when it's necessary. And that's what I'd like. So, you know, I talk about homework. That's forever homework, okay? Not just think about it for a week or something. That starts when you leave here today, and it doesn't end till your day-to-day ends. It's there forever. And thank those people. And be grateful to them. And if you need to ask for forgiveness, ask for forgiveness. Let us pray. Father, we're so thankful that we could come together this day. Let us take that change you make in each and every one of us, that inside change, that change that people can see by the way we treat others, out into your world, and let us make a difference. One friend, one acquaintance, one person that we've never met in our entire life at a time. Amen.